This morning is our traditional Christmas Eve service, the Sunday before Christmas, just to confuse everybody and make sure that you don't know what day it actually is. In case you're not sure, it's four more days until Christmas. So if you're thinking about starting Christmas shopping, that probably needs to happen this week. And start to brave the crowds and brave everything about it. But on our Christmas Eve service, picture in your living room the night before Christmas as a family, and we're a church family, and picture that we come together as a family, and we have the couch this morning. It's good to see that, just to be more comfortable. And maybe you have different things that you wear on Christmas Eve as you get together as a family. Maybe it's a hat in just the right colors. Red would be so angels. Has to be blue. I want to ask a question, though, to our kids that are here. What is your favorite part of Christmas? Some of the that was fast. The presents. Did I hear the presents? Very nice. What else? What makes you happy at Christmas? To see friends. Thank you, Jenna. The food. Did I hear the food? See family. Okay. Traditions. How many of you have Christmas traditions as a family? Absolutely. And this service is one of ours. What else? Santa, okay. Any other things that kids just look forward to for Christmas? I didn't hear that one. Giving? Absolutely. That's a great one. One more. The birth of the Savior. Absolutely. And hopefully that's not lost in all the other things that we look at that bring joy at Christmas time. But as kids and adults alike, we have things that bring us joy at Christmas. And this morning, our theme is joy and looking how Christmas brings joy, but looking beyond maybe some of the traditions and the gifts and the family time. Those are all special. They're all important. But the foundation of why we can have joy in any of those things is the joy that's found in Christmas. However, so many times we get into the Christmas season and we say this every year. And as a pastor, I say this every year. We get lost, that Christmas gets lost in Christmas. But every year it's a struggle, isn't it? Every year the schedules get busy. I was sitting in a Jack-in-the-Box drive-thru and thinking, you know, just nice Christmas thoughts. I had some Christmas music playing, and all of a sudden, the car in front of me dumps some stuff out of their car, and the person at the drive-thru window is yelling, and there's yelling and screaming, and just has a way of ruining some of the Christmas spirit. Same thing can happen in our homes. It was Christmas at Becky's house. Becky's four. She wanted to play that December afternoon, but Mom pushed her aside. Becky, I'm just too busy today. There are presents to buy, cakes to bake, rooms to clean. It's Christmas time, you know. So Becky played alone. When Daddy came home, she rushed into his arms, ready for her usual hug and kiss, but Daddy's arms were already full of boxes and bags. Ooh, for me? No, for later. It's Christmas time, you know. Run along now. So Becky played alone. At supper, both Mommy and Daddy were so busy talking and planning the Christmas celebration with Grandma and Grandpa. The relatives were coming over that Becky couldn't get their attention. So she reached for the butter by herself, but somehow her elbow got all tangled up with her milk glass and over it went. Oh, Becky, not tonight, Mom said. Everything is so busy. It's Christmas time. Run to bed now. I'll be there in a minute to help you say your prayers. She was already kneeling when Mommy walked in. Becky's prayer was simple, but maybe one we need to pray too. God, forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. And we laugh about it, but it serves as a point to start us thinking about joy. And what do we do to bring joy at Christmas time? How do we make sure that doesn't happen to our kids, to our families, to our spouses, to those that we love? How do we make sure that we have a Christmas that we can have joy in rather than saying, forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us? Mary, back 2,000 years ago, had a set of circumstances that maybe there wouldn't be a lot of joy in. We started to talk about that last week. As this teenage girl was pregnant but not married, culturally that was horrid and something that would be punished greatly, whether it be through dishonor and whether it be through talk or whether it be through actual punishment. And she goes and visits her relative Elizabeth. And while they're there, and Elizabeth's pregnant too with John the Baptist, and Mary, we have recorded, writes a song. And this morning I'd like to use that song as a basis for our worship, for our study of God's Word. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. As we look through the Christmas accounts, joy keeps coming out. Whether it says rejoice or they were joyful, it just oozes out of every page and every part of the Christmas story. And in Luke chapter 1, we have a short little song that a lot of times we skip over at Christmas time because it's not really narrative. Let's get on with the story. But the song is powerful. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. I'll read the whole song, then we'll, throughout the morning, just grab different pieces of it. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Not, "I'm really bummed, life really stinks," or maybe even, "Lord God, it's really hard, I really need your help." She starts by saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And so right from the start, in the middle of these circumstances, she says, "I have joy. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." You don't hear a lot of complaining. You don't hear a lot of whining. You hear a lot of joy. And Mary, as she looked ahead at a very uncertain future, looked ahead with joy. This morning will be a little more interactive as we have different elements. What's something that caught your attention out of Mary's song? Maybe a word, maybe a phrase. What did you notice? You can answer. Joy. Okay. Joy. Good. What else?
Gratitude.
Okay. Gratitude to the Lord, her Savior, for what he's doing. Good. Her humbleness. That's just all through it, isn't it? Almost every phrase has something to do with humility. Coming under the authority of God. What else? The what? God is using her for his plan. For his plan. Not her plan. Absolutely. One more.
She's a slave to the Lord.
She's a slave to the Lord. We've been talking about that in Philippians. She's a slave to the Lord. This morning we want to grab just a couple points out of that. The first point of what I see there of why she can have joy, why she can say, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," is joy comes from knowing that God is great. And God is sovereign. Joy comes from knowing that God is in control. He is awesome. He is so much greater than we are. And we should bow to him and be humble before him. In verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Verse 51, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." Verse 52, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." Over and over and over, we see her praising God because He is mighty. In the first half of the song, He's mighty in her life. In the second half of the song, He's mighty in His work with Israel and His work beyond herself. But He is great. He is mighty. And if we are to have joy at Christmas time, if we're to find joy throughout the hustle and bustle, it's not some 10-step program. It starts with realizing God is great, He is sovereign, and we are humble before Him. Because that outlook changes how we view the little things that happen in life. If I know my God is all-powerful, do I handle the little annoyances a little differently? Do I handle worry a little differently? God is great. He is almighty. He is sovereign. And it's only as we get this relationship right, it's only as we realize He is God and we are not, and we humble ourselves and accept that and relish that, that we can start to experience joy. Because as long as we're trying to be God, as long as we're trying to control everything, that will only lead to frustration. And I know at Christmas time that happens. All the schedules, you know, the meal plans, everything that happens. And we get so caught up in trying to play God in a sense that we forget He is great and He is sovereign. Even when we don't understand circumstances, even when we don't understand what might be happening in our lives, even when things just happen that send us for a loop, God is great and He is sovereign. This is the God that accomplished the virgin birth, something no one else can. This is the God that brought a Savior into the universe. Mary in her song, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." So Mary was able to respond with joy because she knew God is great. And at Christmas time, every time we see a nativity, every time we come to any Christmas celebration, may that be our first thought. God is great. He is sovereign. The next reason Mary was able to have joy and come to this event with joy and look forward with joy is because she understood that God was faithful. That the birth of the Savior represented God's faithfulness, that He keeps His promises. That He keeps His word. And whereas God is great and so we bow to Him, He is faithful and so we trust Him. Looking back at Luke 1, 46 through 55, at some of the other verses, verse 48 says, "For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Verse 50, "His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation." But key verses on understanding God's faithfulness is down in 54 and 55. "He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Even as He said to our fathers. And as Mary is writing this song, she's thinking through all of the prophecies and all of the promises of God to provide a Savior. And the promise of God that "You are my people, I will not abandon you." And after 400 years of nothing, of no prophets, of no word from God, a time where maybe people would say God has forgotten us, in a moment, God, through the birth of His Son, said, "I am faithful." It may not be on your time. It may not be according to your plan. But that's okay, because of point one, I'm sovereign, you're not. But I am faithful. Trust me. And Mary, as she's writing this song, baby Jesus inside, thinking, pondering these events, writes, "He remembers. He is faithful." That's a message we need to hear today. If we're going to have joy at Christmas time, we have to remember that the birth of the child represents God's faithfulness. It represents that He has not abandoned you. He has not let go of us. Even when we walk away from Him, even when we question that, even when we don't see Him, He is working. And He is faithful. That can be hard to remember in difficult times. That can be hard to remember when a job's been lost, when finances are tight, a death of a loved one. It can be hard to remember when some companies I'm hearing about are even laying off last week and this week. What a wonderful Christmas present. But God is faithful. God sees that. God has not forgotten. And through understanding His faithfulness, we can have joy no matter the circumstances. And that is what brings joy, is understanding that the birth of the King is far more than presents. It's the King. But that leads into the third reason Mary had joy, and it's right at the beginning of her song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In God my Savior. And not only, if we're going to have joy at Christmas time, it's a time to remember the greatness of God. It's a time to remember the faithfulness of God, to bow to Him, to trust Him. But it's a time to celebrate because He has reached down and saved us from the dirt. He has reached down and offered a salvation to us that we could not earn, that we cannot obtain on our own, that can only be obtained by trusting in Him. And Mary knows this, and she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Not just in God, but in God my Savior. On the news this week, if you were looking at some of the pictures from Seattle, did anyone see the bus crash in Seattle? And there was some ice on the road and a couple buses hit each other. And on the edge, you see this bus actually hanging over the edge of the freeway. And not just a shoulder, but a sheer drop. And the front of the bus is hanging off. The second bus is partway off. Imagine if you're in the bus hanging over the edge. Crash comes. You don't know what's happening. You look down and you're, oh, that's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be road there. And you're just looking at air. And imagine the feelings of what's going to happen. And then the rescuers come and they open the door in the back because the front of the bus is actually what was hanging over. And you get out and you're on land. What a feeling. What a feeling. It would be joy. It would be celebration. You would be thanking the people that rescued you. Heart would be going a little fast because of the close call. At Christmas time, it is God reaching down and rescuing us from a close call, from certain death, through the birth of His Son. In Luke chapter 2, just the next chapter, when we look at the account of the shepherds, starting at verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Familiar story, but we'll get to how this ties into joy. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Yeah, I can see that. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.'" And there's joy oozing out of every part of the Christmas story again. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And what's the news of great joy? "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The message to the shepherds was, you've been saved. Take joy in that. Joy comes not only from knowing God is sovereign and great, from knowing that He's faithful, but knowing that He's a Savior. Knowing that He can deliver us from any situation. If He can save us from certain death, from sin, He can walk with us in anything we go through. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ represents His love to save us, extending His arm down to pick us up when we couldn't. We have a Savior. We are loved. We are cared for. Amen. When Mary was holding baby Jesus, when she was looking ahead, when she was praising Him that He was to be the Savior, she had no idea where that would lead. She had no idea what that would mean. Let's continue to just listen to a song that talks about what did Mary know, what did she understand as we think about what it meant for Him to come.
Your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see and the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Mary, did you know that this would be the deliverer, the Savior, but that all of that ministry and all of that life would lead to death on a cross? God knew, because He is sovereign. Jesus knew, and that was part of the choice to come and to give Himself and to sacrifice. Andrew and I were talking this week about Christmas and Easter, and really, without Easter, what's the significance of Christmas? Without the cross, what difference does it really make that this child was born? It's a great story, but without the cross, the story ends there and it has no lasting significance other than being an inspirational story. But if we're to find joy at Christmas, we need to remember the cross. And that this is about a Savior that reaches down and saves us. Wow. A way for us to remember that is through communion. As we take communion together, we have the bread that represents His body that was broken on the cross. And it helps us remember that Christ died for us. And it's so appropriate to remember that at our Christmas Eve service. The blood represents the blood that was shed in payment for our sin. It represents our redemption. And so we'd like to take a time of communion now. And a little bit different this morning. We have our kids with us this morning. And so this will be family-style communion. And as we sing and as we play, we'd invite one or two people from each family. Dads, if you want to come up and come get a plate and get a piece of bread. And plan on taking that bread back and breaking it up for your family. Take some of the grape juice cups and you can put them on the outsides of the plates and take them back for your family. If you have a large family, bring up a couple people. Also look around. Look around and include people that maybe are just here by themselves. Include everyone. Because we are a family. We are a family together. If a couple small families want to do this together, that's great. If a couple couples. But it's about coming together and remembering with joy that Christ saved us. And the cross isn't this horrible, it was horrible, but it's not something we look at with dread because it represents salvation. It represents the love of God. And so it really should represent joy that God saved us. God saved us. And you'll take that back to your family and have someone in your family pray and thank God for that, or in your group. And then when you're done with that, just set the items, the cups and the plate under the chair. And then I'd invite you to come up as a family to the Christmas tree. And this morning we have some ornaments on the tree. And especially if you have your kids with you, this is a great opportunity to bring them up. And the ornament just is joy. It has Mary and the baby Jesus in there. And we'd like you to take one of these to remember this morning. To remember the joy that we have in our Lord and Savior. And we're just going to include that as part of communion to remember it with joy. Let's pray together and then we'll celebrate communion as a church family and as our individual families. Lord God, our Father, You are sovereign and You are great. And Lord, we bow and we humble ourselves to You. You are faithful, and so we trust You. And Lord, You have saved us. And right now, we want to take a moment in our service to remember what You have done. To remember the joy that You have given because we can be called sons and daughters of the King. We can be called by Your name. Lord, there is nothing that brings more joy than to be a member of the King's family. Thank You for that sacrifice. Thank You for coming, humbling Yourself, becoming a man, becoming a baby, even though You always knew where that would lead. Lord, may we remember constantly every day, and especially at Christmas. In Your name, amen. Because God is always great, He's always sovereign. That will never change. He is always faithful. That doesn't change with circumstances. And He always is our Savior. And always extends the offer to be your Savior. That doesn't change. And so if those are the foundations of joy, our joy at Christmas time should never change. But that's not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story for the shepherds. It wasn't the end of the story for the wise men. See, the thing about joy is never meant to be expressed alone. Joy is always an outpouring to other people. It's always something that we share. Mary, in her joy, she wrote a song. It's shared with all of us. Always in Luke. Always there for us to read. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The wise men, they also were filled with joy. After they had heard the King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. But it wasn't just about being there, because why were they coming? And it goes on to say, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. See, their joy wasn't in isolation. Their joy prompted them to give to the King, prompted them to make a difference, to worship the King, to give these incredible gifts to this little baby. Joy was meant to be shared. It's meant to be contagious. The shepherds, back in Luke 2, when they had seen him, they spread the word considering what had been told them. You couldn't shut them up. They had to tell someone because they were so full of joy. Isn't that how joy works? It's contagious. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned. It talks about Mary treasuring these things up. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. This morning we've talked about joy in Christmas, but if we never do anything with that, then it's just a self-centered Christmas. What are we going to do with it? What gifts do we bring to the King? Maybe you don't have frankincense and myrrh at home. I would venture to say very few of us do. But you have what the King desires. You have an ability to give yourself to Him. You have an ability for your joy to be contagious. Who's going to know that you have joy this Christmas? Who are you going to make a difference in? I would encourage you, as we have 4 days left to Christmas, and many of you already do this, but to make sure that your family has some sort of way of giving to the King in your traditions. For some, maybe it's buying a gift. Maybe it's buying a toy for the nursery at church. Maybe it's picking a family in the church and buying a gift for them. Maybe it's doing the Operation Christmas Child. But somehow have some element of giving back to the King in your Christmas. Because that's where joy comes from. It comes from not only knowing those things about God, but of sharing those things with God. If we are right there alongside the wise men, kneeling down and saying, God, this is my gift to you. Whatever it may be. If you have children, include the children. Include some way for them to begin to give. Maybe it's taking one of their toys and picking one of their toys and giving it to a neighbor. But begin to help them see what joy is really about. That the birth of the King, the salvation of the King, is not about me. It's about His kingdom going on. It's about what He's done. As part of remembering that joy is contagious, that joy is to be shared, we can use fire as an example. Maybe. Faith. We might use fire as an example. If someone in the back can maybe find a something else. The ushers will be passing out candles. We can go ahead and do this and in faith. But we have one candle here on the communion table that represents the work of our Lord and Savior. And in a moment here, we'll light that candle to represent His birth, to represent what happened 2,000 years ago. And then with the candles, we'll start down the center aisle and we'll pass out the candles. And from that one, as we share the joy and as we let joy be contagious, the whole room lights up. And the whole room lights up with the candle that is the birth of our Lord and Savior. Come on down. Isaiah chapter 9 reads, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." As we share the flame and as we pass that down, this morning we are sharing joy. And we are reminding ourselves that the birth of the King is a joyous occasion. It's an occasion we share together as a family. It's an occasion that God is using to light the world and bring light to the world. Christ hasn't just come 2,000 years ago. Christ has come today. And he's looking to reach cities. He's looking to reach out and show his love to towns, to this entire world. And just as the song was playing, it was an incredible thing to see the fire just move back through the sanctuary and then see one candle go up to the sanctuary or to the balcony and it spread up there. And that's what God wants his joy that he brings at Christmas time to do. To spread. To give light, to give warmth. It's our job to be those candles. It's our marching orders as we go out, is to realize Christ has come and we have joy. Just as we hold the candles, I want to read Mary's song one more time that we've worshiped through this morning. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from the thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Let's bow our heads in prayer. And just as we hold the candles, I invite you to just out loud say a sentence or two, responding and thanking God for the joy that he brings. Thanking him for the birth of his son. Thanking him for the light that he sent. Just anyone, respond with a sentence or two and pray to God.
Great are you, O Lord.
Lord God, you have given us a joy that will never end, that can never be quenched if we know you. Lord, may we honor that. May we be aware of that this Christmas. Lord, because it's not that we can lose the joy, but we can sure try to ignore it and forget it's there. But Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for your light. May we respond with great joy at the incredible news of the birth of your Son. In your name, amen.